Philip Dagenham, delighted to have you back in the studios of Highland Radio. It's always good to get you in when you're home. It doesn't happen too often when you're home, but we're glad to have you back for a few days and talk about your career to date. And I suppose the first thing we're going to mention is Team Sky, your first year under one of the biggest teams that's in world cycling. And how's it been for you in your first year?
It's been an amazing experience. A big, very steep learning curve. And I had like very high expectations when I joined the team. Obviously, they're really renowned for being really the top team in world cycling. So I had high expectation, but it's all lived up to the expectation, really.
How has being with Team Sky different to the teams that you were with previously, the likes of Cervelo and obviously the team in America in 2013? Is it up another level again, is it?
Yeah, I think they just, they're very meticulous in every aspect of the sport, really. They look at every, all the fine details, and I think they've realised to be successful and at the very high end, they have to be like that, and it's just with training and diet and every aspect of the nutrition and whole lifestyle, they've everything covered, and it's tough, you know. It's just you feel like, you know, sometimes you would like a little bit more of a relaxed approach to it, but when you see that the results pay off and when you see the results you get on the road, and you know, it's worth it, obviously.
Yeah, it's totally different from when you joined the pro ranks, what, 10, 11 years ago?
Yeah, I suppose I joined for a French team in 2005, and they were very traditional in their ways, and you know, I didn't use any sort of training aid, heart rate monitor, power monitor, which is all very, it's commonplace now, but back then, yeah, it was a totally, feels like a different sport almost, you know.
Yeah, just back to this year, 2014, you got on one of the Grand Tours, the Giro d'Italia. I suppose your best performance was that third place in stage 18 with the mountain stage. Are you content with that and how you performed over the rest of the year in your first term?
Yeah, I mean, overall, I think if I look at the season as a whole, it's been really positive, you know. I had a slight setback in February. I was knocked off by a car in training. But I mean, that's just, you know, these are the dangers you face, really, when you're out in the road training every day. But
and that didn't help your cause at the time for trying to get on the Tour de France team?
Well, I mean, my goal was always the Giro, the Tour of Italy, because it started in Ireland. That was the major big goal. So that was I was trying to rush back to really get in shape for that. But I think because I started the Giro a little bit under, I was probably about 2 weeks behind where I would really like to have been, behind sort of peak condition. That really helped me in the last week of the race.
Yeah. And how's the injuries? How's the form with you at the moment? Is everything okay now that you're on a break?
Yeah. I took 3 weeks off the bike and just really relaxed, and mentally as well as physically. It's a long season, so I just unplugged from the bike, put it away. Didn't really think about cycling for 3 weeks, and now I'm back ready to get going again. Had some metal work taken out there as well. Had some plates and screws that were kind of bugging me, so I got a few screws taken out of my shoulder.
Do you get much time to do that sort of thing during the season, or is it only like once every 6 months that you manage to take a few weeks out?
You would never take a few weeks. Sort of halfway through the year, depending on your program, you'll get maybe a week off. But it depends, really. Some riders, they might take 2 weeks, some might take four. But I think for me, the way I was at the end of the year, I think three's a good length.
What's it like being involved in a team that has big names like Chris Froome and Bradley Wiggins and Richie Porte?
I suppose I don't really look at them as superstars anymore. They're just sort of work colleagues or mates. It's not really, you only really sort of see it when you go to a race and you see there's hundreds of people swarming them at starts and finishes, and you kind of remember what they've done in the sport, you know, winning Tours de France and winning Olympic medals, and it's just, I suppose I've just sort of got used to it now, you know.
Yeah. What is your official job within Team Sky then, Phil? Because you did do a lot of riding for Froome at one stage this year that you were leading them out at on various stages, in particular on mountain stages. So what is your task within Team Sky?
I suppose my specific role really would be what we call a mountain domestic, which is basically a helper in the mountains. So for Chris, for example, this year in the Vuelta, it was really a case of almost like pacing him, like setting a very hard pace to tire all his rivals out, and a pace that suits him that he wants. So when it comes to the last climb, you know, he's in the position to win, I mean, it's probably strange for people to understand if you go to a race with 9 riders, and it was 8 riders there to like really just support him and try to get him the big result to win. It didn't really matter about our own personal results. So every day it changed, you know, with each role, you know, we'd have a meeting on the bus before the start of each stage.
Yeah.
But in general, that's my role on the team.
Yeah, and every now and then you're allowed to go, as what we've seen in Giro, you were able to get up to third. How often has that happened during this year for you?
I would say it happened in the Giro and maybe the Tour of Poland as well. But apart from that, you're always going to go to a race with a big leader that is better than you. Sort of, you know, you have to sort of, you might say, I might be able to finish top 10, but then there could be a rider there that could podium or finish, to, you know, win the race. So then you obviously have to put all your eggs in one basket then.
How far do you think you're away from a possible repeat of 2009 in the Vuelta, where you won that stage 17, was it? Do you think that's possibly something you could do in 2015?
Yeah, I mean, why not? I was very close to it this year. It was sort of frustrating in a way, because the guy that beat me was, he had apparently climbed into the car on the day before when we had really bad snow over some of the mountain passes, and he climbed into the car and he got driven down one of the passes when he was about to stop the race. So yeah, it's kind of just I don't think this year I wasn't far off, and next year it'll really depend on the races I do, how much freedom I get to get my own result, because it'll be very much the same as the Vuelta this year, where I'll be sort of looking after whether it be Bradley or Chris or Richie or any of these guys.
Yeah, just come back to 2013, because the years before that, but with injuries, things weren't going the way that you wanted in your career. And as it turned out, that move to America certainly benefited you.
Yeah, I think it was good for me at the time. You know, I needed a little sort of just a change. I was getting a bit, I just needed a change of scenery, really, you know, to just get me going again. And with United Healthcare, they gave me the opportunity to be the leader of the team and get some good results, and I suppose ultimately that led me getting the place with Sky. So yeah, I had a great 2 years there. I look back on that period with a lot of, you know, with some success, and it was a nice period.
Yeah, and you won a tour there, the Tour of Gila, and also there was 4 or 5 top 10 finishes as well. But it's back to that point that you just met a few moments ago. Maybe if the American thing didn't come off, you wouldn't find yourself where you are today?
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of people, when they saw me going to America, they thought, oh, that's Phillip's just going to wind down his career and do a few years in America, like you see maybe some of the football players doing. Like, but no, when I went over there, it was I knew I had a lot more left in me, and I definitely didn't have that mindset of winding anything down.
Yeah. Back into the biggest circuits in the world, and obviously the big tours. Is it tougher now this time round than what it was when you competed 4 or 5 years ago in the big ones?
No, I mean, they're always going to be tough. But I think in general, there's a lot more of a level playing field now. And certainly from when I went pro, the speeds have definitely come down. And you can see guys are actually suffering on the bike now, whereas there were a few tours I did, and there definitely was a few robots on there that didn't seem to be hurting at all. So I think it's the speeds have come down, and I think it's much more realistic, genuine. I mean, it is, you're seeing real performances out there now.
Obviously things have changed in the way doping has gone within the sport, and you mentioned robots there, and it's more of a level playing field. So obviously some of the guys now out there are working a lot harder than what they did before, but this is a positive move now for cycling over the last couple of years overall, Phillip, isn't it?
Of course. I mean, I think cycling lost a lot of its credibility with Lance Armstrong and a lot of doping cases. It'll probably take time for people to get their belief back in the sport. But you can see the fact that there were so many guys did test positive, and shows that the system is working, and it's catching people, you know.
Will it be long, do you think, before it comes back to that people say that this is a drug-free sport? Or will there ever be a day like that?
Well, I hope it's coming soon. I mean, really, the last few years, you could see that the anti-doping measures have got really, they're on top of the game now. And hopefully, I mean, I'm sure there'll always be skeptics out there, especially on Team Sky. There's always people who are thinking that the team are up to something, but certainly from inside the team, it all comes down to hard work and a lot of sacrifices. Like, if they saw the training that Chris does and the lifestyle that he leads, it's incredible, you know, how hard he works. And it must be incredibly frustrating for him, you know, to have to listen to people accusing him of stuff all the time. But yeah, hopefully we're not far away from that.
We've got Lizzie sitting beside us in the studio playing the girlfriend role today. So we have, but obviously a world champion cyclist and you on the world tour. Do you exchange thoughts much on the sport and downtime and stuff, do you?
No, well, I don't think I'm in any position to give her advice, really, in fairness. But we tend to keep the work side of the relationship out. Well, leave it to one side as much as possible, really.
He's right on the bike here in Donegal, and you took her for a run up over Knockalla and through Port Sal. I'm sure she enjoyed that experience.
Yeah, she seemed to enjoy the scenery. Yeah, it's we were blessed with some nice weather. I think that helped. But yeah, I mean, I was over training in Yorkshire, where Lizzie's from, and that's got some nice scenery too. I mean, we get to cycle all over the world, so when you actually, you know, when you, like Lizzie was sort of making the comment that it really is, you know, when you cycle all over the world and it's something that just stands out about training up around here, it's a special place.
And something we don't appreciate as much as what the visitors do.
Yeah, I think we do take it for granted here a little bit, how spectacular the scenery is and how nice it is for training here when the weather's good. So you know, it's always nice to get back.
Yeah, I read somewhere, it might actually be in your profile on the Team Sky website, that your favourite ride is up over Knockalla. Now, you've been on some fantastic stages in cycling and seen some scenery. So is it that we are right up there with the best of them?
I think so, yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's every country has its own quality or characteristic. But I think here in the Northwest, we really are blessed with amazing, I mean, for us as well, the roads for training, because they're so rolling up and down and steep climbs and long climbs, it's perfect terrain really for us as well.
And that's obviously where you learned how to tackle the mountains, and you find yourself in a position now where you're one of these mountain experts along with Chris Froome and Team Sky. We'll go back to those days of the Four Master Cycling Club when you joined up after tackling the Letterkenny to Sligo event that Paddy Delap runs. And then if we could go forward to where you were last Saturday in Angrenon Theatre, where there was a tremendous amount of young ones, a huge number of young ones attending that the forum to hear yourself and Lizzie speak about your careers. Cycling, the way it's come on over this last 10 to 15 years in the county, is phenomenal.
Yeah, I mean, I'm blown away every time I come back. There seems to be another cycling club and more kids cycling in particular. So, yeah, I think back to when I started, I was probably... there was probably only two or three underage riders in the county that were racing at the time, and just really the Four Masters Club, and there would have been sort of 10 or 12 members in total racing. So now here there's over a dozen clubs in the county, and yeah, just going out training with 100 young kids, underage kids, and it's just it really blew me away now.
Yeah, because you're now a role model for these kids. They're mad under their cycling, and you're one of the stars of Irish cycling on the world tour, and these young ones are all looking up to you now, Phil.
Yeah, it's a big responsibility now, and yeah, it's great. It's great to think that, you know, that I sort of help inspire some kids to start racing. I think that was the big thing with the Giro coming to Ireland. It was really exciting to think that sort of how I got into the sport when I came down to Dublin to watch the tour there in '98, and that was really what sparked my fascination with racing. So it was exciting to think that you know, the Giro was going to do the same thing to the next generation of young Irish kids. So yeah, we'll see.
Well, let's look forward now to the next number of weeks. You're heading back to training, and it's back into the hard grind, is it now, for the end of November and December?
Yeah, holidays over now, unfortunately. Spent just 2 weeks lying on the beach and chilling out and not really thinking about the bike, and I just really needed that after the season. It was started in January in Australia and finished in October in Beijing, so it was a long year, and just you know, obviously a satisfying year, but it took a lot out of me. So I enjoyed a nice 3 weeks by not sitting in the saddle, and
Is it warm weather training you now go to over the next number of weeks? Or?
Yeah, well, we'll go back now to south of France and do some sort of early pre-season training, which is just sort of gradual, building up the distances again. And then we'll have our first proper team training camp in Mallorca in December.
Yeah. And is that when you start to tackle the high climbs and altitude stuff, or when does that
come out? No, well, the Tenerife altitude camps will start later. They'll start by maybe February, March time. But it's all just a gradual build-up again, really, and different riders will be aiming to peak at different periods of the season. Some guys will want to be in top shape in March, and for me and some other guys might be later on in the season. So this next camp will be a lot about trying to arrange the race programme and a schedule and arrange the training. Yeah. So,
where do you hope to be now in 2015? What's your plans and aims, and which of the Grand Tours? Obviously, the Tour de France is the big one that everybody talks about. It's the most watched sport in the world. Yeah. Is that what your target is for next year, Philip?
Yeah, I'd love to go to the Tour next year. But obviously on this team, it's incredibly difficult. The places are hard. They're hard fought with like 30 riders on the team, and they're 30 world class riders. So. But I think I showed this year, that I deserve, at least, consideration for a spot. So it'll just be all about going out there and trying to prove myself and doing more of the same, like what I did in the Vuelta, and showing that I can be a good domestique in the mountains. And I'll throw my hat in for a tour place.
Yeah. So what's it going to take then to do that? Is it performances in the smaller events that are going to be key to this?
Yeah, well, it'll be all the build-up races. I think last year will go a long way to helping that. Like showing my strengths there last year was very important. So, I think I'm being considered, and then put in that sort of build-up race programme for a tour place. But, it's easier said than done, but yeah, I'll definitely try.
Staying injury-free, of course, is key. Yeah. Well, listen, Philip, we wish you all the best of luck for 2015, and we're all hoping that we'll see you on that Tour de France come the summer of next year. And we appreciate you coming on to speak to us here in Highland, and as always, we follow you everywhere you go, and thanks for coming on, and thanks to Lizzie as well for dropping on too, and the best of luck next year.
Thanks, Oisin.